des Dulos sein vom Bahne der Sinn. Es ist Kraft in dem Blut, Kraft in dem Blut. Komm, deine Seele den Frieden gewinn, denn Reinigungskraft hat das Blut. Es ist Kraft, Kraft, wunderbare Kraft in dem Blut, in dem Blut. Es ist Kraft, Kraft, wunderbare Kraft in dem Blut des Heilands allein. Möchtest du frei von der Leidenschaft sein? Es ist Kraft in dem Blut, Kraft in dem Blut. Dein Blut, dein Blut, weich dich rein, du reichst durchs kostbare Blut. Es ist Kraft, Kraft, wunderbare Kraft in dem Blut, in dem Blut. Es ist Kraft, Kraft, Überwinderkraft in dem Blut des Heilands allein. Möchtest du weißer sein, frischer in Schnee, ist Kraft in dem Blut, Kraft in dem Blut. Es heilt von Flecken und jeglichem Weh, ganz rein wirst du sein in dem Blut. Es ist Kraft, Kraft, wunderbare Kraft in dem Blut, in dem Blut. Es ist Kraft, Kraft, Überwinderkraft in dem Blut des Heilands allein. Möchtest du Jesu dir dienen so gern? Es ist Kraft in dem Blut, Kraft in dem Blut. Ja, möchtest du preisen den mächtigen Herrn? Da ist täglich Kraft in dem Blut. Es ist Kraft, Kraft, wunderbare Kraft in dem Blut, in dem Blut. Es ist Kraft, Kraft, Überwinderkraft in dem Blut des Heilands allein.
Glaube du, alles ist möglich, oh glaube du, glaube du, glaube du. Der Tag. Dies ist der Tag, dies ist der Tag, den der Herr gemacht, den der Herr gemacht. Dies ist der Tag, dies ist der Tag, den der Herr gemacht. lasset uns froh und dankbar sein. Lasset das Wort und den Geist hinein. Dies ist der Tag, dies ist der Tag, die der Herr gemacht. Und noch komm aus der Höhe, komm Geist des Herrn.
Komm aus der Höhe, komm Geist des Herrn, rausche und wehe, oh bleib nicht fern, rausche und wehe, oh bleib. Göttliches Feuer falle heran. Du bist uns teuer, himmlische Gabe. Du bist uns teuer, himmlische Gabe. Zusammen tauf aus der Höhe, das heilige Flammen an uns zu sehen. Das heilige Flammen an uns zu sehen.
Amen, amen. Ihr mögt euch setzen.
You may be seated.
Wir haben's im Einleitungswort gehört.
We have heard it in the word of introduction. The heavens declare the glory of God. The whole creation testifies of the Creator. And if you then think of the resolution of the 4th of October in Strasbourg, that the creation doctrine shall not be taught in the schools, but instead the evolution theory shall be taught. With a great majority it was decided. Then we are asking ourselves, how far are the people blaspheming God, questioning God's word? God is watching it, but not much longer. Then we have to give you greetings from all over, especially from Brother Badi from Abidjan, greetings from from Libreville, greetings from Kinshasa, greetings from Brujimai. There Dr. Mbie phoned and he said, Brother Frank, with 2,500 souls, we are on our knees and are praying that God may bless you and us at this weekend. In Africa, there are big, very big assemblies. Some of them have 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 people. Then we have greetings from Chile, greetings from Brother Graf, greetings from Brother Etienne, greetings from Brother Wallström, greetings from Melbourne, Australia. Yes, greetings from half of the world. We are happy that God has given grace, that we can be joined together with all. And we repeatedly said it, God was taking care of that His everlasting gospel will reach the ends of the earth. Now just a short report about the November trip through South Africa, through Mozambique, and to Malawi. God has just wonderful ways, and He led us in a wonderful way. Also this time, what was it? 12 or 13 times it went up with a plane and then again down, going up and landing. Included were the cities Pretoria, Johannesburg, Port Elizabeth, Cape Town, and Durban, and then also in Mozambique, and also in Malawi. This time, four brothers were with me on the journey, three up to the end, four from the beginning to the middle, Brother Daniel from Cape Town, Brother Ngonga from Johannesburg, Brother Motika from Johannesburg, Brother Malcolm from Durban. And then every time after the landing in Johannesburg, we had a very good driver who brought us to the hotel and back again. Our dearly beloved Brother Dr. Lotika, a chief physician in hospital. He was our driver in Johannesburg. God has led everything in a wonderful way. I hardly had such a good driver, just driving very elegant. Perhaps because he has the newest Mercedes. Who knows? In any case, we were very satisfied. Then we have here all the reports from the internet. We pulled them out with that, what is happening politically and religiously. Already in 1 year, peace in the Middle East. The promises are being made and everything will add up that the scripture will be fulfilled. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 from verse 1 to 3. When they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction will come upon them. Then we all heard of it, the uniting of the churches, and how the Vatican is declaring his supremacy before all the others. I just read now what is written here in bold letters. The document containing 46 paragraphs of Rabbeinu gives a description of the further step of the approach of the Roman Church and the Orthodox churches. And then it is about the primate and so forth. Let us leave all this aside. It comes as predicted in the Holy Scripture. The end time is here. The last world empire comes up. And forgive me, but that's how it is written in Revelation 17. The whore, the spiritual power, is riding on the beast, on the worldly power. No one needs to interpret it anymore. One just needs to read in the prophet Daniel, in the book of Revelation. One has to read, and then one has a clear and true overall view of that, what is now really taking place. The prophet Daniel, he saw it in chapter 2 and chapter 7 of the last world empire. He wanted to know more about it, and he also received information. And we have this information in the Word of God. By grace we could recognize the time in which we are living. We could see the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. By grace we could see it. with Israel, with that what is happening in the Middle East. And also here, we don't want to go into details. The end time is here. The coming of the Lord is near. Blessed are all who are now experiencing their preparation by His grace, hearkening to that what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. There are, of course, two things. The proclamation of the gospel for a witness to all nations and tongues, and then the divine message of the calling out and of the preparation to all who are part of the bright church of the Lord. And so, we have, of course, always the same subject, the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord, the return of the heavenly bridegroom to take His earthly bride home. And the Lord has, of course, acquainted us with His mysteries. He has sent us a messenger and a message. He illuminated to us all the words of the Scripture. And by the Holy Spirit, He led us into all the truth. And He does it. He continues to do it. If I now make the remark, the pain, the sorrow which is in me and actually in all of us is that one that within the message are so many different directions. In one city in South Africa, I think it was Durban, there are 11 different languages, 11 main languages which are spoken in that region, and 4 languages are called official languages in the offices and so forth. But alas, let it be complained to God, in the same city there are 28 different groups, 28 different groups within the message. And this is a real pain, a sorrow which one hardly can bear. Time and again, brothers are coming up with new so-called revelations, and time and again, new splits are coming up. And we believe that before the return of Jesus Christ, the believers will be one heart and one soul. Before the last outpouring cannot take place. God will not pour out His Holy Spirit upon a tohu vabohu, but upon the bright church, which is sanctified by the Word and which is led by the Spirit into all truth. And therefore, we have also, even weak in the body, but with a strong voice, we preached the Word of our God, which of course remains forever. I have noted down a number of scriptures which speak about that the deception, as it started in the Garden of Eden, that up to Revelation 20, verse 7 to 10, it is described just in the whole Bible. We got an insight how important it is to abide in the Word of Truth, neither to make compromises nor to listen to interpretations. Whoever just listens to an interpretation without opposing it is automatically a partaker of what is being presented. We all know in Genesis 3, from verse 8 to 19, we have the description of that, what happened in the Garden of Eden. The enemy came in a pleasing way. He was doubting and questioning the word. He was entangling into a discussion. The end of the song, separation from God, sin and death, disobedience and transgression was the result. And then, perhaps I should read it from Revelation, chapter 20. Here it says right at the end that the deceiver, Satan, the deceiver, will then finally be thrown into the lake of fire. Every deception, every interpretation of the scripture is the work of Satan, regardless through whom he speaks, through whom he writes. Everything what is not the original word of God comes from the enemy. God is only in his word. Here, at the end of time, at the end of time, it will happen. It's written in Revelation, chapter 20, verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. They, of course, belong together. They all belong together. The devil and the other two, they belong together. And then it says, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. They belong there. But the worst is that all who were deceived by them will also be there. They will be there where the arch deceiver Satan will be. And all who were under his influence will be there where he is. All who are under the divine influence will be there where our Lord is. And therefore, John writes, we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. And he is the Word. He is eternal life. In Isaiah, chapter 3, in verse 12, it says, Isaiah, chapter 3, verse 12, O my people, they which led thee astray and destroy the way of thy paths. God has prepared a way which we have to walk. And then it says, my people, not another people, my people, the people of God, my people, they which lead thee, thy leaders are deceivers, and they destroyed the way of thy paths. And now we understand the promise. Behold, I send my messenger before my face, who shall prepare my way before me. The scribes, they just destroyed the way of God. They even closed the door to heaven, as our Lord said. They themselves didn't enter, and they don't let all the others enter. And then our Lord says in Matthew 11, in verse 9, of John the Baptist, who he was and what word applied to him. Brothers and sisters, this is very important, that we search the scriptures and that we see what kind of way God walked his way with his people in the past, to know how his way looks like today and what kind of way he is walking today with us. Jeremiah 23, verse 13b. Jeremiah 23, 13b. They prophesied in the name of Baal and led my people astray. If the whole world is being led astray, then we cannot change it. But God's people may, of course, not be led astray. God's people are ordained to be led by the Spirit, to be led into all the truth, and to walk in the word of truth and to be found in it when our Lord returns. Even the prophesying happened not in the name of the Lord, in the name of Baal. What shall a prophecy which happens not in the name of the Lord, what shall it do among the people of God? One can read on. They prophesied of their own heart. They didn't help the people at all, but they strengthened these evil workers in their doings. Ezekiel 13, verse 10. Ezekiel 13, verse 10. Because they have seduced my people, saying, peace and salvation, where there is no salvation at all. Today, the whole religious world speaks of salvation. And if you think of the last announcement from the Vatican, it was directly said, only in connection with the Church of Rome, all the others can receive the full salvation. This one has to imagine. And therefore all shall return into the mother's bosom. All the daughter churches shall return into the mother's bosom, so that they receive the salvation of the Roman Church. We need the salvation of God, which was given to mankind only in Jesus Christ. But it has to be received as a gift from all. And therefore, the proclamation of the glorious, everlasting, saving gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the emphasis, there is no salvation in any other except in the one in which God gave us salvation. And this is Jesus Christ, our Lord. In the prophet Micah, chapter 3, verse 5, we read, Micah 3, verse 5, thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that seduce my people. Yes, this one has to think of. Prophets were, of course, sent by God to bring the will of God to the people of God, to call the people back to God. Prophets of God were, of course, to be the mouthpiece of God, because God always revealed his word to the prophets. And he said in What is it? Micah? Huh? You all know the Holy Scripture. Amos. Amos 3, verse 7. God does nothing unless he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. And then God has to say, as written here, thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that seduce my people. We read in Matthew 24, verse 4. Matthew 24, verse 4. Take heed that no man deceive you. Very important. It just has to be taken to heart by all of us worldwide. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light on my path. If thy word is no more valid, whereupon should my faith rest? I'm not concerned with a thousand worlds, but only try to do thy word the best, as a German poem goes. Then in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the very well known word to us, 2 Corinthians 11 verse 3, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his craftiness, deceived, beguiled at the beginning, beguiled right unto the end, until all of mankind has become a prey of deception. Only the elect flock remains, to which God could reveal himself, to which God could speak, who have the fear of God in their hearts, to believe every word, to respect it as it is written. The most dirty what the scribes did to our Lord is written in Matthew 27, verse 63, when the high priests and when the scribes called our Lord a deceiver. And this hurts. And here's the point. All the deceivers and all the seducers, they were persecuting the true prophets, and they even called our Lord a deceiver. You can read it in Matthew 27, verse 63, that the people at that time, they accused our Lord of being a deceiver, although they themselves were the deceivers. They themselves didn't believe the word for themselves, but they rejected the Lord, of whom it is written, he came to his own, and his own received him not. But this is not enough. In 2 Corinthians, in chapter 6, and this brings us to the message of which it is actually all about. 2 Corinthians, chapter 6, here we have, of course, the calling out of the church, of the bride church, the calling out of the elect. And right in this chapter, the servants of God are accused of being deceivers. Let us read it from 2 Corinthians, chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 7 and 8. By the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as deceivers in the eyes of the scribes and Pharisees, but true before God, true in the word, true in the proclamation. Verse 9, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, yes, Paul also was sorrowful, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. And then comes from verse 14 that part of which it is now actually all about, namely the command to come out and to stay away from all lawlessness. Verse 14, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? Here we have a very important statement, and this one we have to take to Matthew 7, verse 23. Matthew 7, verse 23, where the Lord rejects the miracle workers, and where he calls them the work, those who work lawlessness. And then we have to take this word to 2 Thessalonians 2, where it speaks of the lawless one as the man of sin. About this, by the way, Martin Luther wrote a very powerful word. Let us come here now to Matthew 7, verse 23, in the summary of that, what is being told to them whom the Lord has to reject, who could list many things. And then it says in verse 23, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work lawlessness. The charismatics are in the same doctrine, be it about the Godhead, or about baptism, or, and all are really on the same way. And they are looking to Rome. And if we note it carefully here, then one could say some expositions could come from the lips of a Pentecostal preacher. So elegant are some passages from the Vatican. Sometimes a Pentecostal preacher could not have said it better. And why? So that really all, from the first to the last, are somehow getting the impression this is in the will of God. Just return nicely and then we will see on. For us, who we respect God's word and who we have the grace to hear the last divine message of calling out and of preparation, and may all hear it worldwide, we agree with God and we abide in the word of God. Here we have, for instance, and that's what's all about, namely the brothers, about our brothers who turn away from the word, who put the word aside. And for instance, they are claiming that the return of the Lord has taken place. And they don't even know that by this they place themselves forever onto the side of the Antichrist. I read it to you. Today I brought purposely the English Bible with me. In our newest edition, it's written precisely, as also in the German, in 1 John. In 1 John, chapter 4, 1 John, chapter 4, we have in verse 2 the following statement. 1 John, chapter 4, verse 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. This is past. This happened. This is fulfilled. The Word became flesh. The Son of God was born and came into this world. But then, in 2 John, in verse 7, it is written, 2 John, verse 7, for many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ cometh in the flesh. Future, future. Who confess not that cometh in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. In the same way it's written here in the English Bible, in our new edition, I read it to you. For all the brothers in all the world, they can also read it in case they have the same King James Version. Here it is written.
Brief des Johannes, Vers 7.
Ja.
For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ cometh, future tense, Zukunft, in the flesh. Here is the point.
Here's the point. All the brothers who within the message are claiming that the Lord returned in 1963 are possessed. They have the same spirit which the Antichrist has and have caused nothing but confusion. The same Jesus who ascended bodily to heaven will come in the same way as he was taken up into heaven. And therefore, these scriptures, we are thankful to God for such scriptures which show us with the divine authority, with the absolute. They show us that people are teaching that Christ has returned, that the mercy seat has become judgment seat, and that the Lord is now descending now since many decades to be manifested here one day. No! The Bible says it happens in 1 hour, on one day, and therefore it is written, day and hour no one knows. It's not written no one knows, or the generation no one knows, or the month nobody knows, but day and hour. I have on purpose, I printed out 16 scriptures. We spoke already about it last time. Namely 16 scriptures which directly testify of the bodily return of Jesus Christ. And may all the brothers who are ministering the word all over the world, may they listen to it. They, every time the word Perusia is written, every time the word Perusia, I have also 16 scriptures, I let them out from the computer, where apostles came into a city. For instance, here, Acts 8, verse 15. Acts 8, verse 15. And they prayed for them after their coming, after their parousia. They prayed for the believers at that place. 16 scriptures concerning the return of Jesus Christ. 16 scriptures where brothers, let's say here, Acts 13, verse 5, just to read two or three scriptures. And they preached unto them after their coming. And they preached unto them after their parousia. Here in the Greek word, the same word parousia is written. After they were coming there, they preached the word. Acts 14, verse 27. After their coming, they gathered the church. After their parousia, after they came personally, bodily, not a revelation, not a teaching, not an illusion, but they were coming there personally to then call the church together. All the scriptures, we let them out from the computer, from the Holy Scripture. 16 from here and 16 from there. And everything is in agreement. For instance, if it is written here in Matthew 24, verse 3, and what is the sign of thy coming? And what is the sign of thy parousia? And then there are so many different directions. They call themselves the doctrine of parousia. And they are claiming that Christ has already come. He is here in the spirit. Antichrist spirit. May all hear it worldwide. With God there are no compromises. Whoever does not confess that Jesus Christ returns bodily and that we will see him as he is and we will transform into his image, he is under the influence of the Antichrist spirit. It continues here. Matthew 24, verse 27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of with the parousia of the Lord. Yes. Yes. With all the scriptures which we can read. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, verse 15. Who we remain unto the coming of the Lord. Yeah. Unto the coming, unto the parousia of the Lord. Who remain? What does these brothers want? What do these brothers want? With what kind of right did they creep into the church which was called out to under their false influence bring their doctrines into the church? This time is over. This is the hour of God. God's time. Where the word of truth is the only measuring rod. And everything what is not biblical is unbiblical. And what is not right is just not right. And the bad thing is, as we read it, I repeat it, 2 John chapter 7, verse 7, for many deceivers, one hears of deceivers, but here they are described, for many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ cometh in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. And do you know how far the Apostle John goes here? Just read it. Read it together with me from verse 8 in 2 John. Look to yourselves that you lose not those things which you have worked for. but that you receive a full reward. And then comes verse 9 and verse 10. It comes really as a hammer of the word, which penetrates and which divides as a sword of the spirit, mark and soul, marrow and spirit and soul. Verse 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ has not God. He has illusion. He has fantasy. But has not God. That's how it is written. Whosoever abideth not, whoever goes beyond and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, has not God. No compromise. It's impossible. How could God mix? It's impossible. Has not God. And then onward. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. Hallelujah. Who abideth in the doctrine. And now comes the hammer. In verse 10. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, the doctrine that Jesus Christ, who rose bodily, who after his resurrection was eating with his disciples and drinking with them, and 40 days he was together with them, and then he was taking them to Bethany. He was spreading his hands, according to Luke 24, verse 50 and 51. And blessing them, he was taken up into heaven. The same Jesus will return. That's how it is written in the book of Acts, in chapter 1, from verse 9 to 11. And that's how we believe it, out of conviction, with all our hearts. So, if there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither greet him. Why not? Because you would support him by this. And he would be strengthened in his doings, in his thinking. He would be strengthened. Verse 11. For he that greets him is partaker of his evil deeds. There's nothing like, oh, dear brother here and dear brother there. Right is right. Truth is truth. And what does John write? That no lie is of the truth. Truth was always truth and will always remain truth. Lie was an interpretation and lie will remain an interpretation until the end. So, for all our brothers, all over the earth, may it be said once for all that the Holy Scripture gives us information about everything, that we hear, that we have here the complete teaching about every subject. For me, it's of course very sorrowful. After all, I'm looking back to more than 40 years in the ministry of the Lord. Now, altogether, looking back to more than 50 years in the ministry of the Lord. And then, the spreading of the glorious gospel, the preaching of the word of God, because of a divine call. And then the sorrow to hear and to see what kind of calamity is being caused by brothers who themselves have no call, who have no revelation, but who think of themselves to be something. Brothers and sisters, we thank the Lord God that he calls his church out, that he sanctifies her in his word, washed in the blood of the Lamb, being found in the new covenant. God made a new covenant with us. And let us say it freely and openly. God, of course, didn't call us out from all these errors to bring us again into other errors. God called us out with the holy command, from now on, touch not the unclean thing. And then you shall be, and then you will be my sons and my daughters. So, let us take everything back into the Word. Let us say this also. Let us say it freely and openly. One may not play one scripture off against the other one. I noted it down. For instance, whoever reads in John 13, verse 27, whoever reads there, there our Lord spoke to Judas, what you are about to do, do it quickly. And who then would really read Luke 10, verse 37, whoever would read there, there it says, addressed to a scribe, go and do likewise. But this is written in a totally different connection. The one has nothing to do with the other one, nothing to do at all with the other one. But this is what people are really putting things together which don't belong together. When our Lord says to Judas, go, what you're about to do, do it quickly, this is of course one thing, but it's a totally different connection. Satan entered into him. He was appointed to be a traitor, and it would be better for him to never have been born. That's how the Holy Scripture says it. But we recognize that God has a plan of salvation, that it had to be this way. And now, back to that, what shall be said? Our task is, before the Almighty God, to preach nothing but the truth. And also the statements of Brother Branham, to have them balanced, never taking them out of context, but leaving them there where they are. I've said it here before. Whoever leaves a sermon as it was preached, as it was written down, he will have not any problem. But whoever reads brochures where several subjects were picked out and where quotes were taken out of context, then one can do everything. Go and do likewise. And then terrible things are happening. So, everything back to the Holy Scripture, back into the Word of God. And most important of all, as we emphasized, the deceivers, and one has to imagine this. There are people standing in front of me and are saying, the Lord has returned, and they rejoice about it. They are smiling, laughing. The one speaks, the other one laughs a bit, and he says, Amen, and again, Amen. And the other one says again, Amen, and smiles a bit. There's nothing to smile about. Really not. But in the moment, where it is about the truth, where it is about our Lord, there's no compromise and no laughing is allowed. Then there's holy reverence announced. And the Word of God separates. The Word of God separates. But these brothers, so-called brothers, they are suitable to bring the whole message into a bad reputation by their own interpretations. But let me say this here in all love. God is, of course, not depending on me. It's, of course, not written that the messenger will not return void. It is still written, the word shall not return void. The word shall not return void. They can do with the messenger what they like. They can stone him. They can kill him. They can falsely accuse him, slander him. They can do everything with the messenger. Not the messenger will return with the word, but the word will return with all in whom it could accomplish for what God has sent it for. Then everything was worthwhile. What they are doing with me, it's one thing. But what God's word accomplishes in those who believe it, it's a totally different thing. And therefore, we're just simply looking away from us. And of that, what people are saying, I just don't fit to the people. I don't fit into all these directions. And as different as the directions might be, if it is against me, then they are all one heart and one soul. But anyway, rejoice in the Lord. And again I say, rejoice. The lot has fallen unto us. And whoever reads Hebrews 11 can find out that the prophets were killed and persecuted. But the message which God has given them accomplishes still today for what God has sent it for. The same it is also with Brother Branham and his ministry. The Lord took him, but the word which God revealed to him, the message which God entrusted him, foreruns the second coming of Christ, as the Lord said it at that time. And whether he uses me or other brothers to it, this is all right. I say it once again. Not the messenger returns with the fruit, but the wonderful word, the word of God, which we are hearing, which we believe, which we receive. The word accomplishes for what God has sent it for. The same it is in our time. Let us summarize of what it's all about. We will say it many times still. It is about the calling out of the bride church. It is about the conformity in all points, the conformity with God and God's word. Because Paul has written to Timothy, take heed to the doctrine, that really no strange doctrine, nothing may come up, but that the church remains in the true doctrine which was left to us in the Holy Scripture. And by this coming into the unity of faith, and if we want to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, here, Paul looks at the church as the body of the Lord. As the body of the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, from verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. And then verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Made to drink into one Spirit. Brothers and sisters, this is our sincere wish, that we as the church are coming to the point that the Spirit of God can really fall, that we receive one another as God received us in Jesus Christ, that we work out our salvation with fear and trembling, not the salvation of the other one, but each one his salvation, working it out with fear and trembling. Then We all did it, and then we all will be saved in the fear of God. Then all the gifts and the ministries are described to us in the church, but always one and the same Spirit. Also today, let it be addressed to all ministering brethren. If God has set you with a ministry into the church, then the ministry will serve for the edifying of the church, as written in Ephesians 4 from verse 11, that God has set the several ministries into the church for the edifying of the body of Christ. And then it happens that the divine teaching is taken care of, that no wind of doctrine is moving here around, but that the Spirit moves and works in our midst, and that everything can take place in the course by a divine order. So the Lord will have a church without spot and without wrinkle. He will have a church which agrees with Him and His Word. He will have a church which will participate in the completion. And let us persevere patiently, because we know that the Lord will finish His work. There's no other way. The Lord Himself has taken the full responsibility for the completion of His church, as He as Creator had the responsibility, has it even today, for the whole creation. So He has the responsibility, He as the Redeemer has the responsibility for all the redeemed. As the head of the church, He has the responsibility for the whole body, for the whole church. Our task is to believe Him, to trust Him, to walk in His ways in obedience, so that His will can happen through us and in us, so that we can say, as the Redeemer said, "My food is that I do the will of Him who sent me." Just coming to the point, no own way anymore, no own will anymore. Have thine own way, Lord. That's how we want to walk forward by faith. Don't be discouraged. We are still in this earthly body, but this is a tent which we will put off. It's really important about the heart, about the faith. It's about the revelation which God has given us by His grace. Naturally, earthly, we are not different than all the others. We are drinking, we are eating. The life is naturally as it is. But in our hearts, we are joined together to God. And then our Lord says, "Ye are not of this world, as I am not of this world." And then He says, "I go to the Father. I go to prepare a place for you. I go to my Father and to your Father." John 20, verse 17. And then it says, "I will declare thy name unto my brethren." Precious brothers and sisters, we have wonderful promises which have become true already, and whatever has not become true yet, it will become true one day. We can rely on it. And as we also read, the deception, the deceivers have destroyed the way. Although they prophesy, they can show and list everything. A true servant of God is by this legitimized that he preaches the word of truth, not deviating to the left nor to the right, but giving glory to God alone, and really placing everything back into the Bible. And then it's being fulfilled, and with this we're coming to the close what is written in 2 John.
2
John,
here
it says in verse 2, perhaps we should read verse 1 also, the second part. And not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, and shall be with us forever. Not only the truth which we hear, which dwelleth in us, the truth which dwelleth in us, Father, you in me and I in them, that we may be one. Those who recognize the truth, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. I would have liked to say, would be with us throughout all eternity. So sure we are in God, not in us, but in Him, who Himself is the truth, in Him who is the Word. In Him we have the certainty throughout all eternity. When the deceiver will be thrown into the lake of fire, when nothing will be here anymore of all what exists today, then we will be with God in glory, and we will rejoice of the finished work of redemption. We will glorify the blood of the Lamb. We will thank God for His word, and we will thank Him for the revelation which He has given us by His Spirit, and really which leads into all truth. Beloved, at this place, all over Europe, all over the world, the true and clear proclamation is necessary unto the ends of the earth, and all who are of God, they will hear God's word. What did our Lord say in John 8? You are not even able to listen to what I have to say unto you. You're not even able to listen. They're not even listening. They're not hearing at all. They are really also brothers in our time. They don't want to hear anything. They are already so far. I say it once again at the end, in closing. The grace which God has given us to abide in the Word, to respect the Word, and to be led by the Holy Spirit into all the truth, is worthy to be praised. To thank God for this great privilege which He has given us in this time. And you all know, we of course received the word of the Lord, we believed it. It was revealed to us by grace. Only what the Scripture says about the return of the Lord, as it will happen, what will happen at the time. And the nicest is still written in 1 Thessalonians 4, the Lord Himself will descend with a trump and with the voice of the archangel. The Lord Himself, not a teaching, not a revelation, the Lord Himself shall descend. And when this happens, then the dead in Christ shall rise into incorruption. As Paul has written already in 1 Corinthians 15, it is sown a mortal body, it is raised an immortal body. And so it will be at the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we, who we are still on this earth, we will be changed in a twinkling of an eye, and together with them who came forth from the dead, we will be taken up, raptured in the clouds, as written in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4. Who is the man on the earth who wants to claim that this has happened already? Who wants to take the responsibility for it? Brothers and sisters, once again, let us thank God for this glorious, everlasting gospel. I just have one question. Do you love the Word of God? This is, of course, God's connection to us. We are speaking in prayer with God. But through His Word, God speaks directly to us. As we are speaking to one another by our words, so God speaks to us in all things through His Word. And we all understood it by faith, because this was the question of our Lord. Did you understand all this? And the disciples said, yes, Lord. And then He said, then the householder is like someone who bringeth forth out of his treasure old and new things. And so we are doing it. We are taking the Old and the New Testament, and we are preparing the table for the people of God in the presence of our enemies who misunderstand us, who falsely accuse us up to the utmost. We are just so happy that the Lord helped us on the day of salvation, and that He blessed us, and that He received us, and that He revealed Himself to us. Brothers and sisters, we can say of a truth, God has done great things in us, and we give Him alone the glory. And for this, we want to stand up now. Amen. Let us stand up. Let us thank the Lord together. Brother Russ, please come and thank the Lord. Come and thank. Faithful Heavenly Father, we thank You with all our hearts for the truth of Thy Word. You have spoken, and You are speaking even in our days. We praise and glorify Your name. How should we do otherwise than alone to give You the glory and the adoration and the praise? Receive the adoration from all our hearts and mouths. May our hearts be open. May our lips confess Thee, because You are alive for a truth, and very soon You will appear to take Your own home, as Your Word tells us. As we heard it, we adore You. We praise Your holy name. Bless Your people. May all hearts receive it. May they thank You. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glorify His name. Glorify the power of His blood, of His Word, and of His Spirit. Thank Him. Thank Him. Hallelujah. Oh, beloved Lord, thank You for Your Word, for the working of Thy Holy Spirit. Have Thine own way in our midst, in our hearts, in all peoples and tongues. Bless, bless. Bless beyond our understanding. To You, the Almighty God, to You, the Almighty God, we say thanks. We say thanks. We say thanks.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Singen wir, O, oh, es ist Jesus, O, oh, es ist Jesus.
O, oh, es ist Jesus, O, oh, es ist Jesus, O, oh, es ist Jesus, nur allein. Ich hab berührt
dem Saum sein ist Kleides und sein Blut, es wusch mich rein. Ich lieb ihn, ich lieb ihn.
Ich lieb ihn, ich lieb ihn.
Das teure Gottesland, das mich geliebt und für mich stand, am Kreuzes stand. Und einmal in Englisch.
I love him, I love him, because he first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree.
Hallelujah. Teure Brüder und Schwestern,
precious brothers and sisters,
haben wir aus dem dargelegten Matthäus 13 verstanden.
Did we understand Matthew 13 from what was said? The Lord as the Son of Man sows the seed of the word. The enemy comes behind, is using the time in which the people are falling asleep and sows his own seed. Let us thank God for the great privilege that the seed of the word was laid into our hearts. And as the womb is closing, when the seed comes into it, so our heart closed. No strange seed enters into it. The seed of the word of God, which remains forever. And as the Redeemer was the word made flesh, so we are now the word made flesh. All the promises of the word are becoming true in the bride church. Just say amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Singen wir noch amen, hallelujah. Amen, Halleluja, du bist das A und O, Anfang und End. Du sollst der Erste sein, du sollst der Letzte sein, in alle Ewigkeit, Halleluja. Du sollst der Erste sein, du sollst der Letzte sein, in alle Ewigkeit, Halleluja. Treuer Herr und
faithful Lord and God, you God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, you God of Israel, you are our God. You have become our Father through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Here are our thanksgiving prayers. Here is our worship. Beloved Lord, we understood you when you said to the woman at the well, "Woman, I tell you, the hour comes and is already here, where neither in Jerusalem nor on a holy mount, but where the true worshippers will worship God in the Spirit and in truth." Beloved Lord, you have given grace. You have a flock on the earth purchased by the blood of the Lamb, reconciled with God, crucified with Jesus Christ, risen with Him unto a new life. Give grace that also Romans 14, verse 7 and 8 will find fulfillment. No one lives for himself, and no one dies for himself. Whether we live to the Lord. Whether we die for the Lord. Whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. Great God, we thank Thee once again together, and we pray You, lift up Thy countenance above all Your people all over the earth. Bless tonight, especially in Chile, bless all over the earth, where people were listening, perhaps where they were watching. Bless our brothers and sisters all over the earth. To You, we lay also the request which Brother Schmidt laid for. Take care, Lord, take care that Your word is broadcasted at the right time, that it can be heard by the people. Everything we lay before You, and we thank You that You made it well. We thank You especially that You have given us also today Brother Rus, and we thank You for all the brothers who are ministering with the word, who are here today. Bless them and be with them. Bless all the ministering brethren all over the earth. We thank You for it. In Jesus' holy name.
Hallelujah. Amen. Singen wir noch so, nimm denn meine Hände.
So nimm denn meine Hände und führe mich bis an mein selig Ende. Und ewiglich, ich kann allein nicht gehen, nicht einen Schritt, wo Du wirst gehen und stehen, da
Amen. Amen. Amen.